You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans on our new time slot, Sundays at 7 p.m. Let's go. We're talking about the U.S. Women's National Team, the equal pay debate, and Major League Soccer is returning this weekend.
That's right. Plus, we talked to ESPN Sarah Spain, but not just that. She's also co-owner of the Chicago Red Stars. We talk about everything Chicago, like, unfortunately, Malort, and so many great memories of the Chicago Red Stars and what she plans to do. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Okay, let's go.
Come on. Bringing
that new time slot energy.
Everything done changed.
Okay. It is, this is Sundays at 7 or more of a, you know, like sipping on some red wine.
You know, cash. Doesn't it feel more cash already?
You know, that's what you love, at this time of day. Just a large cumin man yelling at you.
Yeah, that's what you want. Right before you got to go to work tomorrow. It's just a lot of me going, yeah, man. You're like, that's the wrong energy. We're outside in the patio around our fire pit. You know what I mean? Wrapped in a knit shawl, drinking our vino.
But we are excited to be here. Hello, my name is Christian Polanco.
That's right, I'm Alexis Guerrero-Rose.
All right, we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived right here on Football Sports Network.
Uh-huh. And it's also the gulliest.
Okay. You almost like were, it's so cash, you forgot how gully you were.
I forgot to advise you, you know? I'm just listening to, jazz while I'm drinking my wine.
We're excited about today's show for a host of reasons, but one of them is our guest today is the Chicago Red Stars co-owner, mm-hmm. Sarah Spain.
What?
Yes, you may know her from ESPN. And all this other stuff, but no. It's the ownership of the Red Stars is where she's planting her flag right now.
Until that, we didn't want her on the show. You know what I mean? But now that she's connected to soccer, and also because our super fan Glenster wouldn't, thanks to him for having her on the show, because he would not leave either of us alone, all three of us. We're getting tagged, and that's what it takes. That's what it takes to get big guests
exactly,
on our
everybody.
Show.
Yes, keep hit up the mentions. Tell David Beckham.
Start tagging David Beckham. Start tagging Thierry Henry. Will ya?
What are you waiting for? A lot to discuss. Obviously, Major League Soccer it makes its return. Mm-hmm. The NWSL is Challenge Cup is here. We got CCL. So many soccer competitions, so many L's. Okay, it's a good thing. It's not not something bad.
Yeah.
the first thing. Let's start with MLS returning this weekend. I think the big news, outside of just simply the games, is DC United. DC United is making some waves, and we're not used to saying that,
right? They're just making moves. Let's forget the fact that they're power moves, by the way.
Yes,
DC United did some stuff. Yeah. Wow.
La-di-da. Okay. So DC United have hired their first female general manager, Lucy Rushton. She was a talent scout for Atlanta United, and now she's moving over to DC. This is a big move. She is now the second ever female general manager in Major League Soccer.
First since 1999.
Yes, so this isn't a thing we're used to seeing in sports, in this country in general. So this is I will be honest, we don't know the ins and outs, the specifics of what being a general manager is, what the day-to-day task, even the scouting side. We don't know the details, but what I do know is that Atlanta United fans, when they heard this news, were upset.
Yeah, so they were gutted.
Yeah, so as soon as you hear that, you're like, okay, DC United, I think they made a good move, right? Because
right.
You're seeing people unhappy that she's leaving.
If the people from the previous club, if the fan base from the club before, the club that you just took someone from was yeah. like, we didn't want them anyway, you'd have to be like, right?
Okay.
We might have made a mistake here. Like, if you go to buy a used car, right, and you're like, you know what? I know you listed it for $10,000. I'll give you $5,000. And the guy's like, deal. You're like, wait a minute. Right? But in this case, the Atlanta United fans are very upset, right? They missed yeah. their Lucy Rushton, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this is going to be a big thing. She is, I believe, currently, in as far as in American sport, as far as the men's leagues, she is the second GM. Florida Marlins have a female GM as well. Miami Marlins, correction, because I...
God forbid. Cafecitos everywhere spilled when you said that.
but this is, I think, going to be... I think it's showing DC United as well are really trying to change. I think the perception that they have with their fan base, with the league, and they're being a lot more progressive than I think than a lot of people expected.
I think that's the point of me saying like it's power moves. I think if you look back, there was something somewhat stagnant that like DC United lived off of the success they had early on in MLS, yeah. but they also didn't pay enough homage to it. There was like this whole like. Just sort of, look, we're moving forward kind of blindly. At least that was the perception from even their own most loyal fan base. You know, the few yeah. times we went down there to hang out, they said, like, we love the team, but here's some complaints we have. And it was a lot of what I just said. And now it seems like ever since Wayne Rooney left, it seems like they've been very decisive about who they want to be, how they want to be perceived, how they want to take the field, who they want to be as a brand. And I think it's impressive. It's nice to see. They have, like, the cherry blossoms, right? The second largest outside of Newark, New Jersey. Shouts to Newark. They got the cherry blossoms on their...
I didn't know you were really into cherry blossoms or just gardening in general.
Huge, huge fan. Actually, Newark would have never... I'm a bit of a green thumb, you know?
You're like crime and cherry blossoms, what everybody knows Newark about.
What we know, what money laundering and these beautiful trees that only show up for 3 weeks. Let's go.
They bring a tear to your eye, all right?
Every thug cries. I wipe it with my counterfeit bills, you know what I mean?
Your Usher bucks? Okay.
My Usher bucks, let's go. You know what I had to do for them dollars? I think DC United has done a wonderful job of building sort of a perception of their brand now that is different than what it was before we went there.
Yeah. So it's going to be exciting to see. I mean, not only I'm excited what even just on the pitch itself. There's so many FC Cincinnati look like they're going to be a really good team. Nashville look like they're going to be a good team. I think Austin might surprise some people as well. I think early favorites, you see Columbus again. Columbus look like they're going to be very, very dominant in the East. I also, based on all the Chicharito interviews, I'm like, yo, is this dude he seems a little bit more locked in than usual. Okay. So I'm excited to see what the LA Galaxy are going to do.
He does
as
feel
well.
Like he was like, we ain't going out like that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Dude. Okay.
And don't forget Sarah Spain on this show. You heard me, Glenster, right? Sarah Spain's on the show. It's awesome. She's a wonderful person. We were talking a little bit about Champions League. Okay. And, Christian and I both had a different idea of what was going to happen. I went with the two winners. Christian, what happened to you?
Look, we're still recording this before the second set of
we're not
matches.
Talking about those matches, right? Because I'm most likely going to be wrong there.
Okay, so, look, Porto did not win. They did not defeat Chelsea, but it was 2-1 aggregate. It wasn't this blowout everybody said it was going to be. You and Aaron were just calling me crazy for suggesting
that is true.
It.
I thought it was going to be like 9-0, but you're right. It was 2-1.
2-1, but no, Chelsea, they did the job. But only getting two goals against Porto is – but being able to hold them to only one is pretty impressive.
Also, Porto, really good defensive team, right? You know, the Portuguese teams typically are. Now, let's talk about PSG versus Bayern, because PSG does move forward. They do move on, beating Bayern on
they
an aggregate.
Just get by.
Hey, listen. Right? All you got to do is get by. All right. Graduate school. Who cares if you're last in class? Yeah. Just get the diploma. But yeah, they did. It was 3-3 aggregate. Obviously, PSG moves on because of the away goals. Love the away goals. Love me some away goals. But so there's a lot of conversation of, You're right. They did squeak by. If Lewandowski's available, is this different? If Marquinhos is available, is this different? You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, I think they kind of cancel each other out. I do think Lewandowski's quite possibly one of the greatest forwards of all time. But what are your thoughts? Do you think PSG would have suffered a little bit more, would not maybe have won if Lewandowski was available?
I think seeing Mbappe play as well as he did, I would say I don't think it would have mattered.
It feels like this is Mbappe's competition to win, right?
It does feel that way. Everybody's talking, will he maybe leave this summer?
Leaving.
All these rumors.
100%.
But to see him, it seems like he is hungry for this Champions League. They got close in the final last time around. And we all know how important winning Champions League is for PSG, for the club, for the fan base. You know, it's also similar to Bayern as well. A lot of, when we were in Germany, even Bayern fans are like, yeah, whatever the season, we win it all the time. It's Champions League that's what we really care
about. That's their real domestic league.
Yes. You know what I mean? So PSG is possibly, as the time we're recording this, we haven't, obviously Manchester City and Dortmund haven't played yet, so they're playing one of those. Who do you favor depending on who they play?
I mean, I think they're probably going to go up against City, and I think it's going to be difficult. I am interested to see. I hope Marquinhos is available. I'm interested to see Pochettino versus Pep, because I do think this is sort of, that would be the similar philosophies. Just a few minor details that are different. In particular, I think the quality of player across the board at Manchester City is better. I do think PSG has two bigger stars on it, but across the board, you've got a higher level at City. And I think they just play together more and more beautifully. And they sort of understand the positioning a little bit better than PSG does. But I want PSG to win this so bad. I don't know why. I don't have any dog in that
Manchester
fight.
Manchester City fans would be heartbroken. Another Champions League loss like this. It would not be easy to lose.
It does feel like Pep got to prove something, right?
Well, he's going for the quadruple. We've talked about it a whole bunch. Look, at
how
the time
many parades do you want?
both of these. I'm hoping it's PSG Man City, and that will just be, it'll just be these oil magnate powerhouses, literally, right? Like FIFA Ultimate Team, let's go.
Remember when all the narco traficantes in Colombia would have their own teams? They would fly people in. This is similar, but oil money. This is fantasy football.
Playing with Monopoly money. This will be so entertaining. So we'll see. We don't know what the matchup is going to be. Also, it'll be Chelsea against Real Madrid or Liverpool. It looks like it's going to be Chelsea Real Madrid based on the aggregate as of right now. I guess you got to favor Real Madrid there.
That's Real Madrid 100%. Yeah, it's not even close.
And we have to talk about the U.S. Women's National team right now. Obviously, they played two friendlies, one against Sweden, one against France. They drew against Sweden, which was a bit of a shock. They gave up an early
and they
goal.
Were lucky too. They were lucky too.
Drew a penalty. Kelly O'Hara drew a penalty, and Megan Rapinoe scored that pen. Then looked pretty good against France. I thought that was a game that was going to be a little bit more uncomfortable, but they...
Alex Morgan finding that sauce again.
Let's go. It was a great goal. There's also news from the side of the battles with U.S. soccer, and there was on SiriusXM, our boy Jason Davis had an interview with the U.S. soccer president, Cindy Parlow-Cohn, and she laid out their perspective when it comes to, their perspective from U.S. soccer about this legal challenge right now, and obviously the equal pay. And we're not used to hearing this, right?
The fact that she opened up and spoke about it, normally they're like, everything's fine, what are you talking about, you know? This is actually... as much as it's not the news we wanted to hear, this is a positive step in that direction.
Yeah, at least it provides at least some transparency from U.S. soccer's perspective, whether it is an acceptable compromise or not. That's we're not here to sort of judge there. But basically what she said was that she's U.S. soccer is willing to pay the women the same exact amount as the men, when it comes to the matches that U.S. Soccer controls. So not FIFA World Cups, not CONCACAF matches. So they can't match, you know, they can't make up for prize money or, you know, because the what is it? How much do the men get paid if they win the World Cup? I think it's like 40 million or was it 80 million?
Idea.
I don't
know. I know it's a
number.
Lot more than the women.
It's a lot more than women. Yeah. So basically, Cindy Parlacone is saying that the U.S. Women's National Team players are asking to make for U.S. soccer to make up that difference from the prize money, which seems like a difficult. A difficult ask. You know, you're asking U.S. soccer to essentially, you know, like, I guess my main thing is, it seems like the people that they should be suing, it might be FIFA, not U.S. soccer.
No, I have a way of resolving this. Like, just all the Women's World Cups now happen in the U.S., right? And the women get to split all the sponsor money.
Okay, but
one makes more money than we do. So let's go.
So maybe, but that wouldn't be the same as what the men get paid, right? That would be, it might be equitable, but it may be a different way to get there. You know what I mean? So it's a difficult conversation, but it's interesting.
There's no direct answer. Yeah, it's a tough way to do it. Yeah,
it's interesting to see what U.S. soccer is like. Look, we can't do this,
and walk into Infantino's office with a couple of pit bulls. You know, we'll figure it out. You know, maybe a spike bat or two.
I'm interested to see what the players are going to say in response to Cindy Parlacone's statement, because it is a big deal.
Know they'll say it, and I'm here for it. We got Sarah Spain when we get back right after this. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I just want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, us, and you guys being Gully Squad. And you know what? Maybe I keep saying you. Maybe you're listening to this and you're not a member of Gully Squad and you're wondering why. Well, I've given you amazing, reasons why. I've told you the Slack channel is absolutely amazing. Here's another reason why I think Gully Squad is absolutely incredible and why you should join is because whenever we have guests, and we've had everything from World Cup winners to MLS, Premier League, NWSL, legends of the game, we've had incredible, incredible players on our show, incredible guests from comedians like Roy Wood Jr. of The Daily Show, incredible guests. The only people who get to ask them questions besides Christian and I are Gully Squad. Gully Squad finds out early who our guests are, and they get the chance to put those questions in the Slack. Those are the only other questions we ever ask. If you want to be one of those folks, if you want to join the amazing Slack channel, if you want to become a part of this community, if you want to start, you know, cooperating with some of the Gulliest Kit, the kit that they're making for themselves, if you want to drop some knowledge in the coffee or the beer and wine liquor section or the food porn section, all that, you got to join Gully Squad. Most importantly, if you also want to ask questions of our guests, you either got to become a cooligan, which is impossible, right? Unless you're funnier than Christian, then try out, let me know. Or you got to join Gully Squad and join that Slack community. So if you want to do that, just go to shoutstous.com. Again, that's shoutstous.com. Or you can simply go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. In fact, if you go to soccercooligans.com, it's our website. We worked really hard on it. We think it's really nice. And all over the place, you'll find buttons to join Gully Squad. So do it today. All right, baby, we're back on a Cooligan's Living Room FC. Christian, our guest is finally here.
I am absolutely thrilled. Last week, we had the commissioner on.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, now we have the commish. Yeah. So,
by the way, commissioner of NWSL, we want to reiterate, we did not do anything wrong. Right?
It wasn't a police commissioner.
Yeah, right. Yeah. At first, I was worried. I was like, yo, tell me who it is. You know what I mean? But no, we good. It was Lisa Baird, Commissioner Lisa Baird. And now we have a team owner. Dude, look, this is what a dream, huh? You get to own a team in the greatest sport in the world.
Just the wealth coming through this show is pretty impressive.
All right, we don't want anybody here with bad credit. That's what we said, right? We don't get out of here. You're making us look bad. We want people here wheeling and dealing. And I mean,
we don't want our bad credit to make you look bad.
That's right? The problem, right? We want to be elevated. We want that rising tide to lift our boat. You know what I mean? But this next guest, absolutely incredible. You may know her from ESPN. You may, one of our fans in particular knows her because you won't leave her alone. Look, Leinster, she's on her show. Stop tweeting at her. The owner of your Chicago Red Stars, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Spain, everybody.
Sarah, what's up?
What's happening? I love following up the commissioner as the commish.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yes, I think we should at least mention that, because our fans can be, I'm not going to use the word annoying, but they can be persuasive.
Mm-hmm. Persistent, when it comes to, if you will, which is a good thing.
Which it's nice to see, you know, we're both stand-up comics. We've been doing this show for a couple years, and people are like, you need to meet and talk to Sarah Spain immediately, okay? Yes. So we have ambassadors out on Twitter.
I appreciate that. And it's not your burners? I thought it was one of your burners.
No. I mean, we would have come up with something way, way less cool than Glenster. You know? It would have been like some guy named Bob Smith just constantly tweeting at him.
So let's begin with, obviously just a couple months ago, the news about you becoming a co-owner of the Chicago Red Stars. We had talked about it when the announcement was made. This is not the usual kind of transition you see from, ESPN host, ESPN personality, or journalist, to therefore going into owning the team. So what led to this decision and you wanting to be a part of Chicago Red Stars history?
So it was a little bit of like a slow moving thing that ended up just working out great. So I had been a fan of the team and had gone to a game or two. And then a couple of years ago, they decided to have a Sarah Spain bobblehead night. So I consider that the initial flirtation from them. They were like putting out feelers. They're like, let's see if she'll come hang out with us in a more official capacity than just as a fan. And then I ended up having such a good time at the couple games I went to and felt like more people should hear about the Red Stars in Chicago. You know, it's a really flooded marketplace. We have a lot of teams. So I threw a party. I had a tailgate and I just told everyone, all right, I got your beer. I got your pizza. I got your Malort shots. I got your party. Just get your tickets to the game and we'll have a couple hours where we'll hang before we go in. And so out with the majority owner at the party, got to know some more fans. And so when everything went down with Angel City and all the new ownership group over there, I think Arnhem, our majority owner, kind of looked around and thought, well, I would like some help. That would be nice. Like, I'll add some other owners into the mix. The Red Stars are the longest running and the winningest, and he's been at it since the beginning, including other iterations of women's professional soccer leagues. So he's been in it for the long haul, and now it was like, let me bring in some other folks, get some money, get some insight, get some connection, get some sponsors, get some whatever. So I was one of the people they reached out to, which, as you pointed out, is super awesome to have someone reach out and ask if you're interested in potentially being a part. And first call goes to the financial advisor. Like, is this possible? And can I? And then after that, it's like all in.
See, you have a financial planner. If someone said, Alexis, you want to own something? I'd be like, let me call my financial planner. Hey, wife, is it cool if I can I borrow?
Right. Financial advisor's like, are you sure? And they're like, they made a bobblehead. I really, I can't say no.
Which, by the way, that guarantees no team will ever make a bobblehead of us too, because they're like, we don't want these guys coming anywhere near us. Do you think more people would have showed up if you didn't force Malort shots on them?
No, I think that if you know about Malort, then you're either in it to have it or you already know the best evasion tactics. And if you don't know about it, then you're like, oh, I keep hearing about this. Like, I'll go check it out. And here's the thing, and this is very important. And I watched a previous episode of yours where someone was like really in the weeds about pizza, and it was very useful facts. I don't know if it clouded his opinion on where the best pizza is from. I don't think we need to get into that here, but I just want to point out that there's a very important thing that everyone needs to know about Malort. And that is that like a year or two ago, they changed their recipe. It came down to their distributor for one of the main ingredients. I can't remember which one it was, but because of that, it is so much less terrible than it used to be. It is still not good. But when people come to Chicago now and they take the shot and then they like make the face and they're like, everyone's exaggerating, it's not that bad. I'm like, no. This is new and improved Malort. And your dog is really fired up about this.
My dog hates Malort. I try to feed him all the time.
Rub it on his gums when he's teething.
He had the original recipe. And he is in the background like, yes, preach. Preach, Kamish. The new stuff is not as bad.
Well, I can't believe they couldn't get a special ingredient. I don't know if it has something to do with chemical warfare or what that ingredient was. Maybe uranium of some sort. Yeah. Yellow cake. It's disgusting.
It's the special ingredient that makes it so that Malort's tagline is, Malort, tonight I fight my dad. Or alternatively, Malort, punch your mouth in the balls.
Yeah. All of these sound like you don't even need a marketing research group. These are just hang out at a bar in Chicago. Yeah. We'll know.
Yeah. The first time we went to Chicago, we went for a Chicago Fire game. Okay, Nutmeg's a big fan. But we went there, and Malort was almost the first conversation when we stepped off the plane.
It's a rite of passage, if you will.
Yeah. What is the sort of pride? And it's a very Chicago thing. No one ever talks about it anywhere else. What is that sense of pride that comes with that?
Yeah. It's pretty recent too. I think they realize the power of like the marketing campaign that like dares you to hate yourself, right? Like most marketing is like, this will be enjoyable. This one's like, don't do it. Oh, you wanna. Yeah. Honestly, I think it's sort of like pledging a fraternity or like being in a foxhole in the war or like when The Bachelor makes people like bungee jump together. It's like that thrill of like, am I going to make it through this? And now I feel bonded to the people I shared this experience with. So if you come to Chicago, you can always remember the time that you had Malort and either did or did not remember what happened with the rest of your day.
It's like how Latinos always like joke around about how we got beat with chancletas by our moms.
Yes, you know? 100%. You have to laugh through the tears. Yeah.
It's like at least we have a shared experience.
It's very similar to the like, fart and then you do it instead of being like I don't wanna just enjoy that on your own. It's just like that. It's like I can't be taking Malort and being miserable by myself. I need everyone to join.
Yeah. Malort, yeah. Don't find the fart, drink it.
Yeah, drink Malort. Drink the fart.
Okay, you gotta cut the fat.
When you become a part owner of Malort, we just want in on the market research.
I appreciate it. Listen, don't even joke about this. I'm trying to get some sort of Malort night at a Red Stars game. Like, this is how invested I am in making sure everyone experiences the magic.
It's Malort night, and it will turn into Malort morning.
Yeah. It's going to be our jersey sponsor. Like, everyone else is going to have a reasonable sponsor, and we're going to be the Chicago Red Stars presented by Malort. And I'm here for it. Honestly, it feels right.
That would be kind of great. That would be kind of great.
So the obviously at the NWSL Challenge Cup just kicked off. Red Stars had their first match already. It's an interesting time, right? We were at the NWSL final that Red Stars unfortunately lost to North Carolina Courage.
Thanks for reminding me. Yep.
But
pre-ownership, that's the pre-Sarah Spain reign.
Even in pre-SF. While we were in Cary, North Carolina, the support from Red Stars fans, I mean, there were so many people from Chicago over there. So the fan base is absolutely incredible. We haven't been to a game in Bridgeview, but what's it, you know, from being a fan and seeing all the fans there, what has been that like that thing that makes the Chicago Red Stars support special and what made you want to be a part of it to begin with?
Well, I mean, what made me want to be a part of it is just the awesome players and being like, wait, hold up. I can go see like Julie Ertz and Alyssa Nair and Tierna Davis and all these, you know, Olympic and World Cup players in my backyard was what the original draw was. But so we have Local 134, which is our official Rooters group, and they take over an end zone and get wild and the chants and the drums and the everything. And they're awesome and they're super welcoming. When I wanted to get involved in more games when I was throwing the party, they were like, hey, can we jump on board? And I was like, please come help me throw this tailgate. Tell me all the stuff I need to know. And I just think, first of all, Bridgeview is a little bit outside of downtown. So it's like 20 minutes outside of downtown. So you could either view that as mildly inconvenient or, in my opinion, it makes for such a beautiful game day because it's this gorgeous field. And then it's pretty wide open right around it. But in the background, you've got the access to understand that you're right by this big city. And it's just it's a really beautiful place to watch a soccer game. So you combine that with like Chicago fans who are extremely good travelers, extremely loyal to their squads, extremely loud. And then I lived in LA for 6 years and I like LA and I like going back, but I will point out that like the biggest difference I used to say between living in LA and Chicago is in Chicago, your number one goal is to have an awesome time. And in LA, your number one goal is to look like you're having an awesome time. There's a very big difference there.
No, that makes perfect sense.
We will get hammered. We will get sweaty. We will dance when there's no music. We will meet strangers. I remember one of the first times when I moved back to Chicago, I was in Wrigleyville waiting for a friend and they were late. So I was kind of standing awkwardly alone. And this table of girls were like, hey, you want to come sit with us? And I was like, why? Like, what's going on? Like, I forgot that that's just like, hey, come. more the merrier. Let's do this. And so I think in Chicago, between the tailgates and the games themselves, like, we just throw down. Like, it could be a Wednesday night, and back where you're from, it's more like a Saturday.
I want to talk about your career a little bit, just because I think we have a lot of things in common, right? We are comedians. You also have a comedy background. You did improv at Second City, and that was that was a bit of a focus for you while you were in LA before you got specifically into sports. So I want to talk about that, because we are basically doing the same thing, right? We're stand-up comics. We went through UCB, and now we're working in this sports industry, and there's a little bit of skepticism. I'm gonna be honest. People are like, what are these jokesters
they keep
doing
editing our scene? We'll say it that way. If you improv.
So, I know a lot of
they're
people
saying more of a no and. Yeah. Than a yes and.
It's like
most
a yeah but, which I'm not really ready for.
They're like, they keep doing that thing where they pull out the gun, and everyone knows you're not supposed to do that, but our career just dies as soon as we get in the room. No, it's actually, you guys are doing more of what I wanted to do. And I still get to dabble, but I do a lot more straight sports stuff than what I had anticipated. I mean, when I first moved to LA, I actually it had never occurred to me to work in sports, which is wild, because I was a three sport athlete in high school. I got recruited for all three in college. I was a Division I athlete. I was obsessed with Michael Jordan. Like, all of my presents for birthday and Christmas were Bulls related. Like, I was into it, but there were so few women. And my parents aren't really into sports. So, like, I wasn't dissuaded so much as it just did not occur to me. And no one brought it up. Like, I often talk about this, and it's something that I didn't think about until much later in life. Like, growing up, it wasn't like a bunch of adults were, like, taking me under their wing to talk about these things that I was really into. And I think that happens a lot with young boys that are into sports. Uncles or teachers or coaches are like, hey, let's talk about the big game. Like, that didn't happen. So it was just my own little thing that I loved. And by the time I got to LA and I was doing Second City and I was doing auditions for, you know, TV stuff and thinking about hosting, I just hosted a fake Chicago Bears show in a class to practice, like, welcoming in and throwing to break. And the teacher was like, oh, cool, you want to do sports? And I was like, there's no women in sports. And the ones that are either, like, very serious anchors or maybe like a sideline reporter. And those people look like supermodels and they get like 2 minutes to talk and they don't get to have personality. So, like, that's not me. And she was like, well, maybe look into it. So thanks to that teacher, because I took a class in TV sports reporting at UCLA Extension. And all of a sudden it was like this aha moment of, like, take the English major, I'm a writer, take the performative aspect and the sort of extemporaneous conversations that are especially good with the improv and interviews when you're reacting and going back and forth, and then sports, which I've always loved. And so it worked out. I mean, I always have that, like, Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors. What would my life be if I just stuck with it a little longer? Would I actually be on Saturday Night Live? Of course is the answer. But what I'm doing is also good. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like one of the things that is a benefit to you doing this is you've opened the door. I mean, we hear sometimes from other people, like, well, we didn't realize how easy it was to start a podcast, which is never always a compliment when they say that, when you're like, all right, relax, you know?
You can have, like, almost no skill at all, and nothing to say.
Essentially, they're like, if you two idiots are doing it, I mean, what the hell? Yeah. I might as well. But there is something to be said for, a lot of times there's fans of ours that are women, and they say, like, oh, we would love to start a show or something, and it'd be like, you guys are doing it from this perspective, we'll do it from the female perspective. And you don't really think about the fact that there really aren't that many, or there seems to be a lot more now, but the fact that you had to be almost the first to do it, or you didn't have someone to look up to and go, oh, you can be, you know, have a personality and be funny and be a woman in this field is sort of, I think, telling. And I think also being a sports owner as well, it has to give you some ability to be like, I think I might inspire some people in the future to be like, you don't just have to be an athlete. You know what I mean? You could own the team if you want. Are those things that you're kind of cognizant of now as you're sort of going through your career?
Totally. And I do want to say there were smart, talented, amazing women before me, but just if you're not super immersed in the world, they're not going to be, like, front facing. You have to go looking a little bit more. So especially, like, being in Chicago where I'm watching the Bulls, none of them are playing, talking, report, like, you know, you're not seeing any women. So I wasn't diving deep enough in, but there's a lot of OGs that I've gotten to know that I owe a lot to, who opened a lot of doors. But you're right. Like, for instance, like, when I think of especially comedic women in sports, I think first, you know, Michelle Beadle and Katie Nolan, and both of them are contemporaries more so than people that I could have looked up to. So I hope I'm setting that sort of example of being able to be more authentic and transparent and silly. I think also what was required for that to be okay was a just base belief that women could like sports and know about them, because you need that before you're allowed to make jokes about them. And that's what I was used to say. Like, I actually wanted to be Kenny Mayne when I first started. I had the Spain event, which was my version of the main event. I did one for my hosting reel that was like, you know, the NBA changed from leather to synthetic balls to appease animal rights activists, but we never talk about the millions of trees murdered for hardwood floors. Like, you know, like I was trying to do all the satire. What I found was like, the jokes weren't hitting because people didn't think I knew what I was talking about. And that sucked. So like, you know, Kenny, I remember, used to do a highlight once with like, and he'd be like, oh, there's LeBron warming up. They're taking on the Pacers tonight. Heard he's really good. Never seen him play. And then that's hilarious. But when a woman says it, literally everyone's like, you should be fired. Yeah. It's so
she
hard.
She admitted she like, doesn't know nothing.
Exactly. Like, so you have to sort of like get to a certain place before people even respect that you're making a joke instead of well actualing you. I agree with that. And same with ownership. Like at any moment, those spaces not being the first GM, president, owner, anchor, reporter, play-by-play, any of those, the more that there are, the easier it is for people coming up to just assume like, hey, I can do that too, and have it not be a thing. And then the talent pool is so much bigger and the face of it changes, which it has even just in the time that I've been in the business.
Yeah, we deal with that within soccer, where especially we talk about a lot about American soccer. So, and there's a lot of people who've been like focused and covering and you know, fans of MLS since 1996, and then we come in here 5 years ago, and they're like, what are these? They don't know the thing I know from 1998.
You don't remember MLS Cup '97? And we're like, no, we don't.
You're like, we don't. It's not necessary. We don't all have to remember it.
I'm also a huge fan of Kenny Mayne. He does great work. I'm more of a Gucci Mane fan, but definitely
important distinction.
yeah. I sometimes get them confused.
Well, very similar.
And I just want everyone to know, in the commercial, Sarah shot me a very dirty look when I made fun of Deep Dish. So for everyone listening from Chicago, she's got your back. You know?
And I just want to point out that during the commercial, these two fixed their hair way more than I ever have for it. So I just want to point that out. Like, wrong with that? We all need to look our best, but like, there's a lot of ploofing and pulling, and
you know, it takes a lot to make us look even remotely okay, Sarah. So
the competition is fierce today. All right, we're trying to keep up.
I mean, half of my hair is fake, so like, I always pull that out because I always get the win. During quarantine, people were like, "Your hair still looks good." I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's never gonna get longer or shorter. It's just fake.
It's glued in, baby."
Yeah.
I wish I could glue in a fade. I don't have to sit in a barber chair for 40 minutes.
Watch some late night TV. You can glue in a whole lot of things to your head. That's and a think good that point. People believe you. I'm not naming any names. No shots taken.
I think we all know who you're talking about. we actually have our own supporters group. Actually, before we get to Gully Squad, I do want to ask you, being an owner of the Chicago Fire, I'm sorry, the Chicago Red Stars, recently something that happened to a Chicago Red Stars player has made the news. Sarah Gordon, whose boyfriend actually is his brother, is a good friend of ours, a comedian.
He's a comedian, Alzo. Yeah.
Yeah. So we know them. And apparently there was something that happened down in Houston where some of the players went into the stands to greet family members, which I think respectfully everyone knows you shouldn't have done that. It was against the COVID restrictions of the stadium. But in particular, it seemed like only one person really got messed with by security, and it happened to be a black man. Do you want to mention anything? Have you spoken to Sarah Gordon? Have you seen some of the comments? Is there anything you just want to say? Because I know a lot of the fans had questions about that.
I've seen comments about it. I direct messaged Sarah about it. I was really disappointed, and I was actually watching and I was thinking, wow, look at all these players hugging their family. They must all be vaccinated. I was kind of like excited that there were fans in the crowd, but then I was confused. It's going to be the most terrible owner thing I've ever said in my life, but I appreciate you guys setting me up for being allowed for the very first time in my career to say that there is currently an investigation underway, and therefore I'm not allowed to give any statement on behalf of my team and other owners.
Okay.
No, that's well awesome. Done. What an honor that you got to say that on
feel,
the show.
It didn't feel as good as I thought it was going to feel. Like, I thought it was going to make me feel like pretty rich.
I feel like there's a briefcase near you. Am I wrong? Like, I feel like there's a briefcase.
You know, I think for most people, it does make you feel rich and powerful. But for me, like, I always have opinions. So more, I'm like, oh, you're something to say.
Okay. Yeah. No, this is
great. Right.
Okay. You have a question. Alexis, you're going to read the first one?
Yes. Justin Freeberg, who is a big Philadelphia Union fan, wants to know, how does it feel to be an owner in the world's most popular sport? Is that something? I know you probably didn't grow up being a massive soccer fan, but now wildly popular, and the women's game is growing like crazy. So he wants to know, just what's that feeling like?
It's awesome. And it's kind of a weird twist for me because, like I said, I was like involved in so many sports growing up, but I played tennis, like USTA, which I ended up stopping when I got to high school because I couldn't do all the stuff at once. But field hockey, basketball, track. I went and saw the 99ers at Soldier Field in high school. So I wasn't like totally, I wasn't totally out of the soccer world. And I certainly had friends who played, but it's never been my focus. So it sort of was a weird thing to end up in the soccer world. And I'm frantically trying to catch up with, like, you know, enough of stuff from like the Premier League and stuff like that, or Premier. But for me, like, it's always been about the U.S. Women's National Team. And then as an offshoot of that, the NWSL, which is actually really cool for me, because I think a lot of times, like, if our nostalgia is tied to the men's version, like for me, the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan are the end all be all. So I like the Chicago Sky, but they're not the Bulls to me. And with this team, they've always been my number one. Like, I don't have another team that has ever drawn my attention and love the same way the Red Stars have and the U.S. Women's National Team. So to be a part of it, to have like Alex Morgan direct message me and be like, "Welcome to the league." I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, and I'm like obsessed with Megan. Like, there's so many players that I call them, instead of just aspirational, instructional. Like, I really want to follow their lead as a woman, as a person, and as a citizen. So it's really cool.
Yeah, so
and there's something to speak to there about just the support of soccer fans overall. Like, even on the women's side, we've said this on the show before. Our episodes where we interview women soccer players do better ratings wise than the men. So it is,
that's awesome.
Objectively, that's just a thing. The support is clearly there, and when you can compare, I'm a Knicks fan. When I go to Knicks games or just being around other basketball fans, it's not the same as being around other soccer fans. There's a passion. There's something different that makes it a little bit unique. The fandom is a little bit more unique than the other sports.
Yeah, I'm just fired up to like use this as an excuse to go to all the things that I already wanted to, but to set up, like, pretend like I need to for work. So like, obviously New Zealand, Australia is happening for the Women's World Cup coming up. Going to Louisville this summer for when the Red Stars are part of the, you know, the international friendly tournament. So I'm just going to like try to dive in, but I'm going to consistently use being an owner as the excuse if I don't know enough about it. Like, you know, I try to stay hands off with personnel decisions. That way, if I actually don't know, I'm just like, I'm not allowed to speak on the competition, you know, at center mid. Just like, you know, just to avoid people like dogging me for, like, you not having watched the 97 MLS Cup.
We're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to be like, yeah, we have to go to Australia, New Zealand for research. You know?
I mean, how have you not already based? I mean, you can't book it because of COVID and Australia's like dead lockdown, but like, obviously the Cooligans, it wouldn't be the World Cup without, right? I mean,
I agree. I mean,
yeah, you can.
Yeah,
you heard it here first, folks.
Start budgeting now.
Actually, our producer said that's currently under investigation.
We had another question from Nicole Hack, who is obviously a big Fire and a Red Star supporter, been very actively involved in growing soccer in Chicago. Who you should get to know. I highly recommend. But she says she has. A simple question. She says, what is your favorite Red Stars memory?
Ooh. Actually, okay, so this is very random. And I have a couple great ones, but I have a friend who's been a friend of mine since high school who doesn't like sports. And so she saw Megan Rapinoe comment on not going to the White House in more colorful language.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she was like, who is this lady? I love her. I love her hair. I love her vibe. I love her attitude. I love her approach to what's currently going on in our country. And she went to a park. We have these like big screens set up across World Cup and Olympic years in Chicago where you can go to public parks and get thousands of people together to watch. And so she brought a book with her in case she got bored, because she was like, soccer? I'll try it.
And drenched in beer in minutes.
Yeah. She was like, she literally had a picnic blanket and a book and sat like really far away from everyone in case she wasn't into it. And then she started watching and she fell in love. And so she came with me to a Red Stars game and just like was so excited and wanted to learn about it. And then eventually got so into it that she went to the Rose Bowl in California to go see a U.S. Women's National Team friendly when they came back. Like, and now she's like all in. And this was like her little door entry into the sports world. And I was like, when was the last sporting event you went to? She's like, does Taylor Swift at the United Center count? I'm like, no.
You got a little learning to do. No,
yeah. Yeah.
When Taylor Swift dunked Center, on but... JaVale McGee?
Exactly. So I think just that like idea of it being a place for like anyone and everyone to like dip a toe in and then realize that they love it. It was cool for me to like show her that. You don't usually at our age like get to bring someone to sports for the first time.
I picture your friend now like in Brazil with a Vasco da Gama tattoo on her heart. I mean, just like screaming.
I'm getting her to New Zealand, Australia, and she's going to be just like head to toe ready to go.
Purple hair, just like totally. Megan.
She literally did dye some of her hair purple this summer.
Let's go.
I was like, yo, Megan Rapinoe's in there deep.
All right, we did it again. Thank you so much to the commish herself, Sarah Spain, co-owner of the Chicago Red Stars. I mean, look, the level of guests week after week is just only growing. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. I know.
Does this mean we get to hang out in the owner's suite when we go to Chicago Red Stars matches?
There is a Malort toll. We'll see if you guys can handle it.
Okay. It's like, oh man, how badly do I want to be in the suite?
Chicken fingers, though, you know?
Yeah, it's a tough toss-up.
It'd be crazy to me that people do not know where to find you, but let people know where they can follow you and see your work.
Well, they can find me like usually on a yacht with a monocle because I'm an owner now. Yeah. But if you want to follow me on social media, it's at Sarah Spain on Twitter, at Spain 2323 on Instagram, and then Spain and Fitz is on ESPN Radio nationally every night from 7 to 9 Eastern. And then Around the Horn, Highly Questionable, ESPNW writing, all over the place. That's What She Said podcast every Tuesday. You keep me busy.
Yeah, nice. amazing work. Yeah, and that's it. Around the Horn is definitely, that's where the first time I was seeing you regularly. And, and I became a huge fan definitely after that. So,
thanks, so fun.
The next thing that we do, this is becoming tradition on the show. It is the Golasso GIF. We ask our guests to celebrate a goal that we will turn into a GIF. Would you?
But you know
like...
what though? We're talking to an owner. So instead of you scoring the goal, your Chicago Red Stars just scored the NWSL final winning goal.
Perfect.
How do you on your yacht? A part next to the stadium. How do you celebrate?
It is a premonition of this season then. So you're talking about when we win later. Perfect. Okay, so this is a GIF I'm making. I have props if you're ready.
Let's go.
Okay, here we go. Okay. I'm worried that out of context it might look weird and have my mouth open and doing whatever I just did.
We will make sure to apply all the context. Okay.
Same color as a green screen, because that's another concern of mine.
Yeah.
Just like the shape and the color that it might.
Okay. We'll get the football team graphics to turn it a different color.
Yeah. We'll fix it. We'll censor the whole thing, actually.
Thank you again.
Just like entire GIF is redacted.
It's under investigation.
Yeah, also, that's exactly right. Can't comment on it. Sorry.
It's going to be the first blurred GIF, okay? Thank you everybody for tuning in. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooling on all social platforms. Follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. Now let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Sarah Spain, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooling!